The Lord be with you. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 24, ending at verse 33. And you will find it on page 969 of the Pew Bibles if you'd like to follow. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he said. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, that when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. Please sit. Last week the reading was about planting seeds. This week we're talking about pulling weeds. And the two go together, don't they? Everybody who's a gardener knows that planting seeds is the easy part of having a successful garden. It's much more time consuming to weed that same garden, isn't it? And it's hard work. As some bright spark once said, when weeding, the best way to make sure you're removing a weed and not a valuable plant is to pull it. If it comes out of the ground easily, it's a valuable plant. This parable seems to tell us that we should make sure we're not a weed, because one day the weeds will be thrown into the fiery furnace. The weeds are all those who do evil. Now that is a little disconcerting. Where does God draw the line? Murderers? Rapists, adulterers, thieves? Does fibbing on your tax return count? How about gossiping? How about the sins of omission, like if there's a neighbour in need and you ignore them? And how about those who only give a pittance to God out of his generosity to them? Where is the line drawn? As Paul said in Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what hope do we have? I don't know about you, but a fiery furnace doesn't appeal to me. And if that day comes when God begins pulling weeds, I certainly don't want to depend on my own virtue. And it's a serious lesson for all of us, isn't it? But as with most of Jesus' parables, there are other insights we can gain from them. Yesterday afternoon, I went with my son to see Oppenheimer at the movies. It's based on the true story of Robert Oppenheimer, the quantum physicist who led the team of scientists who developed the atomic bomb during World War II, the bomb that was later used against Japan, bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki with horrendous results. Early in the story, we saw Oppenheimer meeting and talking with Einstein at the university where he'd been invited to lecture by Louis Strauss. Strauss watched this interaction but couldn't hear it. However, immediately following it, Einstein walked past him without responding to his greeting. It upset Strauss, and he blamed Oppenheimer for saying something against him to Einstein, and this short interaction laid the groundwork for the troubles Oppenheimer would later face. Strauss made a judgment based on what he supposed had happened, and that judgment returned on him later in his life. He seemed to be a supporter of Oppenheimer, offering friendship and support to him. But after the war, he arranged by devious means to set up a hearing to determine whether Oppenheimer should lose his security status to work on sensitive scientific work for the US. Oppenheimer was accused of being a communist supporter and sympathiser, and of providing information to Russia about the bomb through his communist connections, for by this time Russia also had a bomb. This kangaroo court, in which most of the evidence against Oppenheimer was said to be top secret and so not available to his defence, decreed that he should lose his security status. Later, Strauss was seeking a position as Secretary of Commerce in the US government. He was nominated by President Eisenhower, but at the Senate hearing, several of the teams of scientists who'd worked with Oppenheimer were invited to speak in support of Strauss, and one who came along related how Strauss had been involved in discrediting Oppenheimer, and this resulted in the Senate refusing to confirm him in the position. It came back, didn't it? What's that part? Judge not, lest you be judged, isn't it? Yeah. Afterwards, after this, he'd been refused the position, he ranted about Oppenheimer's hatred of him based on the incident with Einstein. And his aide told him that quite probably Oppenheimer and Einstein hadn't been talking about him at all, but about something important. Yes. The movie then showed the scene between the two men, and we could actually hear what they were saying this time. And the topic of conversation was the atomic bomb and how Oppenheimer believed, as Einstein had earlier predicted, that he and his team would release upon the world its own means of destruction. Something that he had come to believe himself, but nothing to do with Strauss at all. So even though Einstein didn't recognise his greeting, it wasn't because he was against him, it was because he was concerned about what Oppenheimer had said. So much evil and hurt result from that one false judgment by Strauss. Returning to Jesus' parable of the wheat and the weeds, if we see the wheat as those who are of the kingdom and the weeds as those who are a bad influence or evil, we're making a judgment against them, a bit like Strauss, and it's not based on clear understanding. And as I said earlier, Jesus has told us, judge not, lest you be judged. So often we hear words of judgment against others, and not only by those who aren't followers of Jesus. Sadly, we hear them within the church, within the Christian church. One denomination judging another to be not really Christian because they don't believe the same. One worshipper judging another as being sinful because their lifestyle is different. And so it goes on. When I was in formation, I was placed at an inner city church in Brisbane. Their congregation was composed of a wide variety of people, including street people, prostitutes, and cross-dressers. There was one man there who'd had a very tragic early life and frequently dressed as a woman. Mostly he did that at home, but when he came to church, he was dressed as a man but wore makeup and had his nails painted. And I would have loved to have been able to do it as well as he did. It was very, very good. And interestingly, just as an aside, when he spoke to the Anglican priest there and asked him if he'd mind if he came to church, and of course he was told that's fine, and would the priest mind if he wore his makeup and had his nails painted? And the priest said, no, in fact, you can coordinate it with our seasonal colours. Which was a wonderful thing to say to him and very welcoming. And that man is still a priest in our diocese. He told me, that man who dressed as a woman, that he'd been part of a Pentecostal church before moving to the Anglican one. He'd asked them if it was okay to attend with his makeup, and they accepted him. But after 3 years, he was still attending the same way and he was asked to leave. They were happy to have him, but he hadn't changed to be the same as them, and he was no longer welcome. When he moved to the Anglican Church, he was welcomed and accepted as he was, and he found a safe home. He was a beautiful man of faith, and he was allowed to study and grow in faith with the people of the parish, who left the judging to God, that God who could see the whole picture. Weeds or wheat? We've all got a bit of it, I think, haven't we? But we're all children of God, and Jesus has called us to grow together, leaving all judgment to him. Lord, give us the ability to offer to others the grace and mercy that you've given us so freely. In Jesus' name, amen.